What's up? C'est Jean-Sébastien de Be a Man. Encore une fois, merci à tout le monde qui nous écoute un peu partout dans le monde. Pour faire suite à ce que nous discutions dans les dernières semaines, la semaine avant la dernière qui vient de passer, là. So, we were talking about a really specific subject that might affect certain men in our society today. And what was interesting is que Gabriel disait que it was a media phenomenon that wouldn't necessarily be possible without the access to internet for that specific type of group or micro society. So incels is the subject, and today I have the opportunity and I'm happy to introduce my sister, who is a professional in the field of counseling, that can maybe give us a bit of insight as to what are incels and how they behave, and maybe how you could relate to certain aspects of that maybe pattern and try to break out of it before it becomes an excessive thing. So je t'ouvre la porte.
Merci. Merci Sébastien pour l'invitation. Yeah, so in no way am I a expert on the topic, but when Sébastien brought it up to me, I was really curious about it, and I looked into it a little bit. Donc oui, je suis thérapeute. My background is addictions, and I'm also very passionate about men's mental health. Donc c'est définitivement des choses auxquelles j'ai pensé, donc c'était vraiment un sujet que je trouvais intéressant. Donc, ma compréhension du terme incel, from what I've learned, c'est lorsque les hommes blâment les femmes pour for like their inability to connect with them. So basically, my understanding from what I was researching is when men are blaming women, heterosexual men are blaming women for not being able to be in relationships with them, and they kind of blame their singleness on the fact that women are not responding to them. So that's kind of my comprehension to that. And understanding the polarity between men and women and how, you know, energies between men and women, like healthy masculine, unhealthy masculine, all these different dynamics, I was really curious about that, that term. And I had never heard it before, so it's a very new concept. Mais en même temps, je suis pas surprise dans la société dans laquelle on vit. I can understand, d'un point de vue sociétal, why people would say, you know what, there's an issue in relationships and it's women's fault. I'm not going to say it's anybody's fault. mais je peux comprendre qu'il y a eu beaucoup de changements. Ouais?
Non, c'est légitime qu'on ne blâme pas une personne ou l'autre. Là. C'est quelque chose que beaucoup de gens ont le réflexe de faire. Genre, if it's not the fault of somebody, it's automatically the other person's fault, when sometimes the issue is completely irrelevant to whose fault it is.
Exactement. Puis je pense que c'est vraiment important. Je trouve que souvent, especially in the time that we live in, we want to find an enemy and we want to find polarity. Puis je pense que c'est comme if we can blame someone that we can feel better about ourselves, mais je pense que souvent les choses sont beaucoup plus complexes, mais pour être capable de reconnaître la complexité d'une chose, ça prend de l'énergie, ça prend de l'honnêteté, puis ça prend de l'humilité. Puis je pense que c'est pas tout le monde qui est prêt à faire le travail de s'asseoir, de prendre du recul, puis de poser des questions.
Faire de l'introspection.
There you go, faire de l'introspection. Parce que quand on fait de l'introspection, le danger, c'est we might be wrong. We might have more responsibility in the situation than we realize. Or we might be part of the problem.
Or people might not want to do that because it would be in some way and or form admitting to their own mistakes.
Exactly. Fait que je peux comprendre que, like, yeah, so I just want to be very clear about it, that if, you know, we're going to hold a title, sometimes we need to ask, why am I identifying as that? Where does that come from? How does that serve me? If it has served me in the past, is it still serving me today? Is it providing me with the results that I want? Fait, je peux aussi comprendre qu'on vit dans une société where genders have become very fluid, Right? Dans le mouvement féministe, le premier mouvement féministe, le but, c'était pas de donner le pouvoir à la femme, c'était de rendre égalité entre les sexes. En tout cas, de compréhension, which is, might not be super popular with a lot of people, I realize that. But in my understanding, this is just my opinion, I feel like it should have been called equalitarianism.
Parce que in the reality of it, at the time that it was happening, it was a legitimate claim because for women to have access to vote, to fair wage, and just have their weight and, you know, ideas respected as people and not as women, was legitimate because, you know, being a man back in the day meant to have certain responsibilities and do certain things, and being a woman was pretty much the same thing, where the popular idea nowadays that I'm seeing also at university is people wanting to derive from the roles of male roles and female roles, even going as far as to ignore a norm versus just saying that it shouldn't be a thing, even though the research is pretty much dictate and clear lines of male behavior and female behavior on an average, because that's just how we are as creatures, as biological mammals. So
Fait que non, je suis d'accord avec toi 100%, Sébastien. Puis je pense aussi, like, what's been interesting for me is to learn more from a scientific basis how men and women function differently, how our brains actually designed differently, and that's why we process emotions from it differently, actually, which is fascinating.
Very.
And so, scientifically, there's a lot of basis for the difference between, biologically, between men and women. Puis, je pense aussi que, because of the first wave feminism, which has a lot of value, and I'm not saying that today there's not some disparities in workplaces because of gender, and that's a topic for another day, so we're not going there. Mais en même temps, à cause de ça, it kind of like confused things, because there's this new, I think it's the third wave feminist, if I'm not mistaken, who's now, we kind of flipped the roles, that now it's almost like guys are
the problem.
Yeah, guys are the problem. And the thing is that men were raised by women.
Yes.
So, like, in many, many cases. So, c'est comme, guys are blamed for being guys and having desires to be men. And they're you know, they're shamed for that. And then they're also shamed for not being women. So it's like, okay, now how am I supposed to date in this world? Like, how am I supposed to interact with another girl if I'm not allowed to be me? And I'm blamed for not being a woman, but I'm a guy biologically at the core of who I am. So I can appreciate the struggle and the frustration and the confusion, and I want to validate that. Absolutely.
So I think there's an expression en anglais, ça s'appelle catch 22.
Ouais, je pense que c'est ça.
Where you could either, like, whatever you choose, you're pretty much stuck between a rock and a hard place, and you're going to be, even though consciously you know that it's not your fault, society portrays and throws at you these ideals and things that might not be true, but they're so wildly how can I say this? Il y a tellement de gens qui le pensent puis qui en parlent que ça fait la même effet. In news, il y a une technique qui est employée pour comme convaincre les gens d'une vérité. Ça s'appelle le chamanisme. Puis c'est de répéter encore et encore et encore une chose jusqu'à ce que ça devienne comme une vérité.
Wow.
Donc, c'est quelque chose qui est utilisé inadvertamment par plusieurs personnes pour parler de choses populaires qu'ils ont entendues. Donc, justement, c'est quand tu parlais du third wave movement que by hearing over and over and over and over again, oh, well, there's always a chance of a woman being raped by a man. There's always a chance of this happening. There's always a chance of this. And it's because of men that women can't get paid enough. It's because of men that, and all of these things that you keep hearing over and over again. Of course, you're affected directly by what you do, what you see, what you hear. So even though you could have a very resilient mind, at a certain point, it's going to take its toll.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Regardless.
On ne dit pas que ces choses-là arrivent pas. That's not what we're saying. But even, right. like, so for example, je donne un exemple, OK? Un homme qui est violent, OK? Mm-hmm. De ce que je comprends, c'est a man who's in his feminine. Il y en a qui pensent beaucoup, il y a beaucoup de gens qui pensent qu'un homme qui est, who's exploding all the time, who's being aggressive, is masculine. Non.
Mm-hmm.
A healthy masculine man is cool, calm, collected, is able to, he's able to process the anger. If he needs to go out for a drive, he will. But healthy masculine energy is protective.
So, could you maybe, for the people new to hearing male energy and female energy, explain a bit more about that.
Sure. So, it's... fait que dans le fond, d'un point de vue scientifique, right, il y a des hormones.
Mm-hmm.
Les hommes, ben, on a toutes les testostérone, on a l'estrogène, on a la progestérone, on a plein d'hormones dans notre corps, OK?
Mm-hmm.
Puis, de ma compréhension du travail de quelqu'un qui s'appelle John Gray, ce qui arrive, c'est que ces hormones-là peuvent être affectées par les expériences de vie qu'on a.
Mm-hmm.
So, il y en a qui vont avoir un point de vue ésotérique, puis qui vont parler de feminine energy, masculine energy. Mais ce mm-hmm. point de vue ésotérique est aussi basé sur la science, qui dit qu'un homme, généralement, ça c'est le travail de John Gray, qui dit qu'un homme va avoir, son niveau de stress va être plus bas, OK, quand que son niveau de testostérone est plus élevé. Puis pour une femme, son niveau de stress va être plus bas quand son estrogène est plus élevé. Fait que biologiquement, en général, un homme va avoir 10 fois plus de testostérone qu'une femme et une femme, biologiquement, va avoir 10 fois plus d'estrogène qu'un homme.
That is very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of puts things in perspective.
Right. So what happens is that, but men also need estrogen in order to function, and mm-hmm, women mm-hmm. also need testosterone in order to function, right? So ma compréhension personnelle, and as people do their own research, they might come up with definitions that make more sense to them. So this is mm-hmm. just me, where I'm at. It might change in a year from now, but this is just my understanding of it right now. Ma compréhension, c'est que the testosterone or the masculine energy, which men and women both have at different levels, right? C'est mm-hmm. une énergie that's problem solving. It's very cerebral. C'est dans la tête.
Okay.
Right? Fait qu'on on résout les problèmes. We're a go-getter. We're working for a paycheck. We're willing to struggle to get what we want, right? It's a fix-it approach. There's
so
a
say...
problem. I'm going to fix it. Testosterone. Masculine
right.
energy. Okay?
Okay.
Estrogen is more of a connected energy. So this is where you're going to be able to identify how you feel. It's going to allow you to be creative. It's going to be allowing you to connect with other people, to be intuitive, to appreciate the beauty in the world, to emote, and to really have that relational piece. So that's the part of a guy that would allow him to fall in love with a girl. Right?
Right. Okay.
That's the part of him that's going to allow him to connect with his child. That's the part of him that gets him passionate about a mission, you know, a calling for his life, right? So we have both inside of us, but we have it at different levels,
mm-hmm.
right? So c'est pour ça que des fois, on va dire une femme qui a été souvent dans son niveau testostérone au travail, genre problem solving, working hard, fixing issues, leading a group of people, all these things. It's awesome and it's great. And at the end of the day, when she goes home, if she doesn't take the time to relax and switch her energy, she's going to stay in that testosterone mode. And that's mm-hmm. sometimes where the stress level would go up for her, right? Même chose pour un homme, right? So if you look at testosterone for a man, it's kind of like a battery that goes up. At the beginning of the day, it's full, right? So you have the energy to go in and fight and do what you got to do. Right, so problems, but as the day goes by, let's say you have an argument with your boss, traffic, every time you do that, the testosterone battery goes lower and lower mm-hmm. and lower and lower until it goes to zero, right? Let's say part of lowering the battery was, you know, you hung out with your kids, right? That's going to lower, that's using estrogen, right?
Right.
Oxytocin. So, is it oxytocin? Anyways, one of them. But yeah, so all of that is going to be used, and all of it is using the testosterone battery, right? Even having sex with your wife, that's oxytocin, that's going to lower, or your partner, that's going to lower the testosterone battery. So all of that lowers the testosterone battery, and then you get to a point where you're like, I can't, I'm tired, right? So that's why guys are going to go away, right? And mm-hmm. they're going to do things like playing golf, playing video games, checking out, just going for a walk, going for a run, being on a bike for 2 hours, whatever it is, right? It's a space to kind of like recharge your battery so you can go back and do it again. Now, if a guy right. is consistently stressed, and he never gets that time to check out,
mm-hmm.
the estrogen, because he's emotionally stressed, is going up.
Okay.
And as that estrogen is going up, all the built-up emotion that he's not able to process by doing something, which is how men process, gets him to a place where now the aggression comes out.
Okay.
Make sense?
Yeah. Pretty interesting.
Yeah. So this is science. And if you guys want to check it out, there's a guy, his name is John Gray. He wrote a book called Beyond Mars and Venus. And really great work. There's another guy I can't remember the name, but maybe I'll give it to you on the next next link.
Right, and we could put it in the comment section. I mean, the description.
Yeah. So yeah, thank you. So yeah, so there's a few people out there who are kind of exploring that topic to help you understand how to navigate your inner world. But the reason why it's important, I think, to identify that is because I think when I hear incel, I hear a bit of femininity in the mindset of that argument, right? Because mm-hmm. estrogen is a receiving energy, right? And okay. so when you're there saying like, I tried something and I'm expecting people to respond to me,
mm-hmm.
right? A strong feminine energy is a woman, a strong feminine woman is someone who says, I expect things to come to me. I trust the outcome of things and I trust that things are going to work out for me. This is strong feminine.
I've heard that a lot
mm-hmm.
in certain, you know, like you said, I would say strong females or mm-hmm. strong women that were in, you know, leading roles.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like it's kind of weird to expect out of life that is not something that is fair in general,
mm-hmm.
an outcome that is favorable to you.
What do you mean?
I mean that life is not fair, and so why would you expect it to go however you want it to go just because you want it?
Mm-hmm. So that's a really great question, and that's actually a brilliant question. I don't have all the answers. I'll just tell
we
you.
We could talk about it another day.
Okay.
But that's definitely something that has stricken a chord where I've heard that a lot from like business women or women in leadership roles. And I'm just like surprised.
Yeah.
Excuse me, vas-y.
No, it's correct. And I think for me personally as a woman, I see it as strongly empowered feminine, right? Because a guy will work hard for what he wants. He will hustle and hustle and hustle until he gets it.
Right.
So that's the masculine energy. Feminine is, I'm going to do my best and I'm going to trust the outcome. And I'm going to trust that it's going to come to me as it should.
It's interesting.
And, yeah. So it's kind of like we're both getting to the same thing, but from a different space.
And that's why you're saying that incel approach is a bit of a strong feminine.
It's a bit of a feminine approach. It's kind of
right.
Looking at it. Yeah.
In the way that they're expecting out of whatever they're doing or whoever they're interacting with to be whoever the outcome to be in favor of what they want. So
yeah.
Hitting on a girl and thinking that they deserve to be responded favorably, ça serait l'équivalent de ce qu'on vient de décrire.
I think so. Like, I do. Puis aussi, je trouve que it's just, like, entitled.
Oui, définitivement.
C'est comme...
Sans prendre la responsabilité de, genre, tes actions, genre, par rapport à ce qui aurait pu se passer ou ce qui s'est passé, tu sais. Cette journée-là, je sais pas, est-ce que T'étais-tu réveillé? T'étais-tu propre? Est-ce que tu sentais bon? Est-ce que... C'était, je sais pas, là, c'est quoi ton mood, mais... Est-ce que t'as réussi à lire le mood de la fille aussi? Est-ce qu'elle était dans un mood conversationnel, puis toi, tu t'attendais juste que parce que tu y parles, elle devait te répondre favorablement? Parce qu'il y a aussi un genre d'idéologie, une vague extrémiste de genre « Ah, les femmes, c'est des soumises, ça devrait... ça appartient dans une cuisine, ça devrait faire... you know, the classic 50s women at home type of thing? »
Ouais.
There's a lot of that in the incel movement where they kind of like validate themselves and justify that women should be that way. And so if they're not, they're worthless or they're trash, basically.
Ben, ces women-là, c'est des women who... It depends, right? Like, I can't put everything in the same box. Mais genre, moi, quand
obviously.
Je pense ça, je suis comme, you want a mother? You want a mother you can have sex with? It's comme, are you looking for... No, for real, bro. Like...
Vas-y, je t'écoute.
C'est comme, si tu veux une partenaire de vie, are you the quality of man for the quality of woman that you want? If you're okay. living in your mother's basement who feeds you meals all the time and now you're going for this heavy hitter girl who has her thing together, her car, her place, and now you're upset because she rejected you, pose-toi des questions. C'est comme, une femme d'un certain calibre veut un homme d'un certain calibre. Une femme qui se respecte veut un homme qui se respecte. Puis un homme qui se respecte prend responsabilité pour lui-même.
C'est un peu là où je pense qu'on veut en venir avec le fait que peut-être certaines personnes pourraient se sentir comme qu'on le disait au début, un peu plus vulnérable, un peu plus dans une situation d'injustice par rapport à comment la société a comme... ou les environnements dans lesquels vous êtes dans la société, vous bardassent...
Tu parles de qui? Incels ou les femmes?
Incels.
OK.
Where going through that journey of becoming an incel, you can feel like some unfair things are happening to you and, you know, why is it that the other guy gets the girl even though he's not better than me, he's not better looking than me, he's not, you know... always kind of that mindset of me being better than others and not getting my just reward. I feel like that's kind of could be a coping mechanism or something else, but definitely something that's going on also.
Puis je trouve ça tellement intéressant parce que c'est comme un vendeur, genre, who goes to his manager and says, the list of customers you've given me to call suck. I've worked on your speech and I've spoken to every single one of them and I only had like one or two who took my product. Your product sucks and this speech and these clients suck. You need to give me another list. C'est quand même pas dangereux.
Yeah, that's a really very interesting, simple analogy that we can pull apart. Puis je pense qu'elle est vraiment pertinente. Comme tu le dis, tu sais, dans une situation de même, de comme tout repousser le blâme sur toutes les autres choses qui techniquement te sont offertes littéralement, là. C'est aussi un autre aspect potentiel de la situation, là. Parce que j'ai l'impression que c'est soit justement des gens qui sont pas world wise, souvent.
Ouais.
Pis toi pis moi, on en a vécu là, de ça, les gens qui ont une transition de genre rester chez les parents à par la suite vivre seul puis réaliser que la société puis la vie est beaucoup plus complexe.
C'est ça, surprise, surprise.
Mais une fois que t'es rendu là puis que tu te sens un peu potentiellement dépourvu, comme que tu l'avais mentionné par rapport à non, les femmes, ils ont toujours, ils veulent pas te répondre ou genre non, écoute, c'est tellement vaste et bizarre, puis du cas par cas, tu sais, moi, aussitôt que hier, je ne pensais pas que les gars flushaient les filles quand il y avait une opportunité d'avoir intercourse, puis la meilleure amie à une de mes amies, elle, littéralement, quand ça faisait comme quelques jours qu'elle parlait avec un gars sur un site de rencontre, puis un dating app pour pas avec une flamme pour pas nommer de nom, qui, finalement, quand il était le temps de se rencontrer, elle lui a dit, elle lui a donné son adresse, puis il a dit « Ok, donne-moi 30 secondes », puis il l'a bloqué.
Ben voyons donc.
Fait qu'il a genre flirté avec elle pendant l'équivalent d'une journée et demie, puis quand il était le temps de faire de quoi, genre, il a comme, il a, je sais pas.
What an asshole.
Oh, oui. Puis t'as, and it's a podcast where we can say stuff like that, so it's all cool. It's all cool. Mais comme, in my mind, I was just kind of flabbergasted as to the situation that a guy can do that, and trying to figure out what type of man feels comfortable enough, and what kind of situation does he feel that, like, he, not he can do that, but, like, doing that is okay. Or, like, that's an acceptable reaction to the scenario.
Pour moi, c'est féminin encore. Parce que une femme, a woman feels validated when she's noticed, when she's cherished, when she's appreciated, when she knows that she's wanted.
Right.
A guy wants to, in my understanding, you can tell me if I'm wrong, mais de ma compréhension, c'est a guy feels best when he knows that he's making his woman happy.
100%.
You actually don't, like, dans ma tête à moi, you actually don't want to be the one to be like, oh, Sébastien, you're so pretty, you're so... C'est comme, wesh. See? Parce que you're a healthy masculine. Mais un gars qui est genre, oh, I just want to talk to all these girls and know that they want me. Ça, c'est le désir d'une femme. You know? Je dis pas qu'un gars, il veut pas être alpha, il veut pas avoir du statut, mais il y a une différence entre être respecté et entre être désiré.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're arriving towards our first 30 minutes of this segment, which is very interesting and could possibly evolve in other conversations. Puis moi, dans le fond, je veux dire qu'on va conclure cela pour l'instant, puis je pense qu'on pourrait quand même en reparler un peu plus en détail de certains aspects comportementaux puis un peu du trajet de ce qui fait en sorte qu'un homme devienne un incel, parce qu'on a comme kind of covered it briefly. Mais définitivement quelque chose que j'aimerais faire, peut-être un petit peu plus en détail, parce que je pense qu'on a quand même éclairé certaines choses intéressantes au niveau compréhension pour pouvoir justement faire avancer le sujet plus facilement.
Mm-hmm.
Donc, ben écoute, je te remercie énormément d'avoir pris le temps de discuter avec moi. Puis on va peut-être se rappeler, j'espère bien pouvoir faire une autre conversation avec toi à ce sujet. C'est tout à fait fascinant.
Ben, merci pour l'invitation. C'était super le fun. Tu fais du beau travail, Sébastien. Puis continue.
Merci beaucoup. Donc, encore une fois, si vous avez des commentaires, questions, suggestions, please feel free to let me know, comment, and or, you know, right now we're on Apple Music, Google Podcast, on est sur Balado Québec, as well as Anchor.fm. So if anything, let us know. And yeah, thanks again for listening.
Bye.